violin singer. He was a wonderful, wonderful artist, in my opinion. It's 7 o'clock here in New York. This is WBAI-FM, New York City. I'm Joseph Hurley. I'll be back next week, live, I hope, with Screening Room. Michael, take it away.
Okay, and you are listening to Screening Room with Joe Hurley. And as he said, he will be back next week. And stay tuned for Hard Work with Mike Fader.
Γυβένα μόλα λάντα ζήσε αφαίνε. Δόρ του βαίνε μη σα φέργει νίγη, που τους χάρτη λίγη στο κρίγη. Αμάμα λίγελε, απαστρώμελε, ακαρνάσελε, να γλέιζελε βάινα. Ein Rumänien ist doch hier, bin Kind, ein Schwester nicht, Wein trinkt man lieber auf, mit vorbei zu Katschowal. Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm. Ein Rumänien ist doch hier, bin Kind, Sorgen, weiß man nicht, Wein trinkt man bei sein Spät, mit vorbei zu Katschowal. Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, die Gedamm, Heidige, die Gedamm, die Gedamm. Hoi, ik wou dich werden misschien, ich liet naar vrienden, mama zie, ich tan zo vredig, bin der Stelle, wenn ich es am Batlagelle zimma, Tahirli tam, zimma, Tahirli tam, zimma, Tahirli tam, zimma, Tahirli tam, hei, zusammen kann ich es besser kennen sein, hei, aber wir lieben uns noch, rumänisch wein. Die Rumänen trinken Wein und essen Mama Liege. Und wer sich kiss dein Egen war, jener ist mich hier gehört. Denn da, da hirli dam, bubu, da hirli dam, ding ding, da hirli dam, papa, da hirli dam. Ei, zusammen kann ich mir besser gerne sein. Ei, ihr Bergen, Egen ist dort, Rumänisch weit. Hey! Gibt es die Schnee da moid, wenn sie sau sechten, wenn es ist dann auf der Moid, hebt sie um zu krächten, sechs, dann will die dann sechs, sechs, der ist die dann sechs. Ei, es ist am Achaie, was besser für eine Dein, ei, ihr Vergnügen ist Normen. Tschu, tschak, ha, 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 ha.
The immortal Aaron Lebedev, and you are listening to WBAI in New York, station, the station for a shrinking mind. And this is Mike Fader, WBAI, on your dial, the people's radio station. Not that you would know it really very well from the last year in the way it's behaved. Where to start? It's the end of the year. We could do a yearly review. Now, I could tell you what I usually tell you all about my personal travails, but I think not only are you probably tired of hearing it, but I'm tired of hearing it, at least for this week. And we could go over all the news stories, you know, of which there are many overwhelming, awesome, terrifying news stories this year to discuss, but there's plenty of other people on BAI to do that and on other stations. So I think what I'll do, because it's something I feel like I need to do because of recent events and because of the last year's cumulative events here at WBAI, to do a kind of a year in review of BAI and maybe even a little bit more than that. So I guess I don't know quite where to start out because it's kind of a difficult thing for me to discuss considering the subject matter. and what possible repercussions that could come from such discussions. But it doesn't really matter to me anymore because sometimes people get to a point where they do need to speak on certain subjects. Now, last week, if you remember, if you were tuned in last week, and I hope you were, you will recall me say that it was almost a year to the day last Friday. It was on a Friday night when Utrice Lead and her gang committed Grand Theft Radio and took this station away from the people who had sort of comfortably been running it, and really in a way from you, the listener, and from the listeners to the station. She came in here at midnight with the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation, Bessie Wash, more of whom I will speak later, an extremely odious person. And the two of them, along with a bunch of subsequently in the next several days and weeks, armed guards, which I never thought I'd ever live to see at WBAI, the People's Radio Station, stole the station away and immediately banned and fired in the next several weeks or a couple of months or perhaps over a period of 4 months, something like, I don't know, is it 30 or more producers and staff members from the station? They are fondly and not so fondly known as the banned and the fired, depending on which side of the argument you are on. Now, as some of you may know, there has been a big civil war here at the Pacifica Foundation for probably the last few years, and it's very complex to get into, and it would be worth an entire book, and I hope someday somebody does write a book about it, not just because it's about something that I'm intimately involved with, but what goes on here at the Pacifica Foundation and WBAI and the other four radio stations that are part of the network are in a way emblematic. The things that go on are emblematic, symbolic of the state of American democracy, and almost anything that happens on what we used to call here free speech radio station, and some people on the air still call free speech radio station, but they're basically lying when they say it, and they know it, because it's not anymore. basically, what goes on here at a place like BAI, which is one of the most noble experiments that I've ever personally witnessed in my life. You know, I've lived through 57 years now and seen many public experiments. I mean, I've seen the civil rights movement, you know, up close and from a distance. I've seen the Vietnam War and its subsequent protest, and its the defeat of truly bad people in this country. And I've seen various other brave and ennobling things in my life. But I think, probably in this case, because I am so closely involved with it and because it's meant so much to me, I have never been associated with anything which I consider to be so ennobling as the experiment that BAI was over the years and may hopefully one day be again. There were times in my life when BAI, this is in case you're just tuning in to BAI, this is a listener-sponsored radio station. And again, I'll say, not that you would really know it from the last year. The listener has been held in nothing but contempt by the people who have taken over since December 23rd of last year. And I should say of this year. It'll be last year in a couple of days. And the people who continue to run the station and to have prominent positions on the air and on the staff here. People who were installed by Utrice Lead and her small gang. Now, the Civil War here at Pacifica basically was this. Now, I'll get back to my personal experience in a while. Just a few facts. The Civil War at Pacifica was this. And I'm reducing this in the most simplistic manner because of the increasing influence of the moderate centrist wing of the Democratic Party on the Pacifica Foundation. And because the Pacifica Foundation found itself over the last few years, and especially in the last year or two, the board of the Pacifica Foundation found itself completely changed. Instead of having civil rights lawyers, activists of nonprofit organizations, people who are dedicated to First Amendment issues or civil rights, the board was filled with corporate, democratic, centrist yuppies. People who have much less interest in free speech, civil rights, or any kind of extreme, humane and humanistic agenda than they did have in numbers and money. To explain the complexities of how the board was taken over by these people, would take hours to do. And it's, as I say, it's a fascinating subject probably for some, for a book. I hope somebody does it one day. And I'm available for interviews. $1,000 an hour is all I'll charge. Meanwhile, if you're just tuning in, this is Mike Fader. This is WBAI in New York, once called the People's Radio Station, perhaps once again truly to be called the People's Radio Station. Change is in the wind, and we'll talk about that in a little while. So essentially what we have is a bunch of corporate yuppie types, lawyers, accountants, people with very strong ties, because the chairman of the Pacifica Foundation, or the chairwoman of the Pacifica Foundation, was Bill Clinton's appointee to the head of the Civil Rights Commission. I always get her name wrong. Marion Frances Berry, I think her name was. And I think basically she's the one who engineered all this. And there were connections to the Democratic Party. You could see the results of that when Bill Clinton called up this radio station on election night and tried to convince our audience, because he had a list of radio stations, I guess, that somebody shoved under his nose to vote for Al Gore. And he had the misfortune to encounter Amy Goodman, which is like walking into somebody's backyard to borrow a cup of sugar and being attacked by a pit bull. And they went at it to both of them. And my opinion is that old Bill won on points, and I think he really acquitted himself fairly well. And in any case, it wasn't too long after that, and it could be a coincidence, but I don't think it was, that the Pacifica Foundation decided they were going to steal this radio station from its more or less rightful owners. That is to say, you, the listener, and the people who contribute to the radio station. And what they've been doing over the years, or what they tried to do over the years, this bunch of corporate yuppie executive types, was to drag the Pacifica Foundation back from two things. And it gets complicated, but I'll explain it a little bit. Back from a kind of what they felt was a kind of small-minded, narrow, leftist, self-defeating program or programming that went on. Now, there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. Because I have an intense dislike, in fact, an almost a feeling of utter revulsion for the people who took over, as I say, Utrice and her gang of installees, because I abhor these people, that disgust me, doesn't mean that I'm a big pal and a big friend of the people who came before. The people who are called the banned and the fired, and I won't go into list their names now, but I suppose a lot of people know who they are if you've been following this story. They and I never got along, especially a couple of them. I've had violent arguments with these people over 10 or even 20 years, personal arguments, arguments about the state of the programming and the programmers on the station, issues which I won't go into tonight, which I've mentioned before, having to do with racial and ethnic things. So I am not their buddy and not their pal, and I think some of them feel the same way about me, but there may be some sort of grudging respect between me and the banned and the fired in terms of just collegial, affiliation to the station, and a general understanding that we are all sort of aimed for the same thing. As I say, if I was the program director or had been the program director, I would have probably made quite a few changes, which is why I was never invited, I think, to be the program director. I always wondered about that, but there it is. But so the Pacifica Foundation, they had two things. One thing they wanted to do was to change the way the radio station sounded. They wanted it to be, in a word, or in a few words, less radical. They felt that it was narrowing itself, that it was offensive, repetitive. They felt that a lot of people had dug themselves into positions where they didn't deserve to have their shows anymore because they were just merely being narcissistic. They were basically masturbatory in their utterances. They were preaching to the choir, and they were settle in their happiness to do that. Now, there's some truth, as I say, there's some truth to that. And the station needed jazzing up. It needed changing. Every once in a while, something needs to be changed. Change has to happen sometimes. And if it's resisted, or if an organization or an institution or a country, for that matter, sinks into a kind of somnolence, a kind of depravity, a kind of self-satisfaction where there is nothing growing, but a kind of there's a sort of rank kind of perpetuating self-renewing nothingness that goes on. BAI had a streak of that. It was spreading like rot through the station. Now, a lot of people disagree with that, but that's the way I saw it. And I think the station needed to be changed quite a bit, expanded. So in some ways, I had some sympathy with the idea, the frustration of people who were running the foundation and wanted this place and other stations in the network to change. I could understand that. But I suspect their motives were very impure, very self-serving, having to do with money, with affiliation to the Democratic Party, and therefore impure, very impure motives. They were rotten at the core, in other words, to begin with, from the get-go, from the beginning. So now the second reason that they wanted to change the administration and the programming of the radio station, which they never really successfully, they changed the administration and a lot of the staff, but they never successfully changed the programming, except to take some of its worst aspects and make them far worse. And we'll get to that in a little while, too. What happened was that what they really wanted was, and I've been told this directly, not only by Utrice, who thank God is gone now, and I hope never shows her face in this place again, but and I had a couple of what you might call discussions, later turned out to be arguments, but we had a couple of very serious, long discussion and or arguments, you could call them, she and I, during the course of her reign. I can't call it administration. What they wanted was, and the new manager also feels the same way. He told me so himself in the most contemptuous and insulting way when he called me into his office a couple of months ago to tell me how things were to be and what I was allowed to say and not to say on the radio, which is going to be the main point of what I'm going to tell you tonight. So now he himself told me, and he's just repeating, he's parroting what the Pacifica Foundation and what Utrice and all these people learned from CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and National Public Radio. What did they want? More numbers and more money. Now, that may sound incredible to you, or maybe it doesn't sound like anything at all to you, but to me, it's disgusting to hear that coming from the lips of somebody who has any position of power or responsibility at WBAI. BAI and Pacifica were not created. They were not envisioned to begin with by the creator of this foundation, Lou Hill, in the late 1940s. It was never the point. Never the point. In fact, it was just exactly opposite of the point to have big numbers, ratings, good ratings, and to have a large amounts of money coming in. That's exactly what we were not created to do here. And that's exactly what these reprehensible, obnoxious, misguided, stupid, untalented, uncreative people that have been here during the last year and unfortunately in some cases still remain here want for this station. There are other things that some of them want which I find more honorable that have to do with promulgating the rights of people who have been downtrodden, but the way they do it is also insufferable. They do it in a dictatorial, threatening, and narrow-minded way. And not that, not the worst of it, and what's really unacceptable to me is they're untalented. It's bad enough that they're dictators, that they're vicious, that they're libelous, that they're insulting. But the worst thing about these people who have been installed here is, in some cases, department heads, in some cases have gotten major regular shows in the mornings or afternoons or on weekends, is that they're not even talented. They have no sense of what it means to speak on the radio. They're inarticulate. They don't have good brains. They can't speak well. They can't make their point. They have no charisma. These are the people who are installed in these positions essentially and perhaps primarily because they simply agreed with what the dictator of the station and the dictator of the Pacifica Foundation wanted. Like any regime, any fascist regime, like the Nazis, like the McCarthyites, you just name one, fill in the blank. It's always the same story, and I've done a tremendous amount of studying about this. The dictator comes in, who is a charismatic person, usually extremely paranoid and disturbed in their vision, which fits perfectly with what happened here, and gathers around her or him a bunch of bootlickers and lackeys and people with similar twisted and or stupid minds. And that's exactly what happened around here and is still happening around here. If it wasn't happening anymore, if I really thought that it was going to end very soon, perhaps I wouldn't say this and probably put my own program in extreme jeopardy. But I am hoping in the end that my appeal, which is essentially about free speech and about the lack of censorship that should prevail here, will reach what is really good in the hearts of the people who still have power around here, particularly our new manager, and that they will see that there is right in what I'm saying. That's my fond hope. And I don't think that any of the people, I make these representations or comparisons to fascist or Nazi regimes only because they're generically applicable psychologically or sociologically. I am not in any way comparing these people to murderers or people who commit violent, atrocious acts of murder and torture and whatever else. It's just that there's too many generic similarities in terms of their psychology and the way they behave to refrain from using this comparison because it's perfectly apt. So the Pacifica Foundation, made up of people who should never have been on this board in the first place, people who were schemers, who were moneymakers, who didn't really much care about the fact that there was a whole mass of people out in this country who have no radio station to listen to except the Pacifica radio stations, when all they hear all over the country increasingly is a monolithic drivel that comes out of hate radio, stupid, superficial talk radio. You hear Howard Stern's or clones everywhere. You hear stupid program music, which is a program within an inch of a calculated response. They have focus groups. You're nothing but a consumer unit to 95% of the radio stations in this country. You could go anywhere. They all sound the same. Even the alternative radio stations sound the same. NPR has, over its 20 or 25 years of existence, however long it's been, become extremely centrist, even tending to be, to me, sort of right-wing. The people on NPR get paid tremendously high salaries. They have their jobs to protect. That's all very fine, you know. I mean, it's good to enjoy what you do and get paid a lot for it. That's good for them. Meanwhile, they take commercial sponsors. WNYC once never used to do that. Now they are riddled, like a house is riddled with rats and roaches sometimes. They are riddled with commercial sponsors. They do not any longer have freedom of speech or independence or any way of being in any sense profound, intense, and meeting the true needs of people who need to listen to real issues. They have become, in short, a glossy magazine of the radio, when in fact they were once a much more serious radio station. And that's taking their lead from NPR in Washington. Now, NPR is almost, I'm not an expert enough to make these comparisons factually perfect, but there's something called CPB, which is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, the Pacifica Foundation, BAI, has gotten a small portion of its money over the last 20 or 30 years from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is, I don't know how they say this, a quasi-governmental organization. Essentially, it's government tax money, which is appropriated to be spent on various non-commercial and alternative, or I should say community radio stations, with the very true and right feeling that these stations should be helped, because they have to pay some lip service to the fact that since the frequency and the airwaves belong to the people, that they shouldn't all be filled with this stupid, badgering, dishonest commercial drivel that you hear everywhere, and this insane, relentless noise that comes over the radio. Sell, 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 buy, buy, buy. They program you like you're a robot, and that's all they want. They're only interested in you as a consumer unit. Otherwise, you could just drop dead as far as they're concerned. Listen, buy, or die. That's the point of view. So the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is giving money to WBAN, to the Pacifica Foundation, a very small portion of its money. And using this as a wedge, the Pacifica National Board, over the last couple of years, and especially over the last year or so, decided that they might be in jeopardy in some way, which is just some sort of lying excuse, if they allowed a lot of the stations to maintain a kind of very low level of listenership, you know, not that many people were listening, that if they allowed certain kinds of programs to be on the air, whatever it was, some excuse, they decided they had to get much more conservative, and they had to raise the ratings, and they had to raise the amount of listeners. Now, there is nothing wrong, certainly, with getting more and more listeners. I think, how many people listen to the station is always a kind of complicated examination and problem. During the Vietnam War, we had far more listeners and subscribers than we do now. And in the 60s, we had far more listeners and subscribers than we do now. Why that is, I don't know. Maybe there needs to be something like a Vietnam War. There needs to be something like a massive civil rights movement. There has to be something like the 60s. Now, we have that in part in different ways right now in this country, but there's nothing that, quote-unquote, sexy an issue. It could be that people like Bush and Ashcroft and all those people, these repressive witch-hunting fools and devils that are running the, to use a certain word, evil devils that are running the government right now. Usually places like BAI, in fact, BAI itself, has always prospered in terms of the number of listeners and the amount of money it's raised during times when a repressive, anti-American, anti-democratic government is in power. Certainly, we've got a really good example of that now, perhaps the worst one I've seen or read about in the 20th century. This guy Ashcroft would suspend all civil rights. He'd rip the Constitution into shreds if he could get away with. The trouble is that the Constitution and the essential rights of Americans, especially the right to free speech, doesn't seem to mean as much anymore to the people who ran the Pacifica Foundation and in some cases still run BAI and other Pacifica stations. And to me, that's a very, very sad and despairing thing. When I originally started listening to BAI, I was 21 years old. It was 1966. You don't mind I take a drink of water, right? You don't mind if I do that. And, you know, like a lot of people my age, I'm going to be 57, I grew up in the 50s, which was, you know, McCarthyism. Everything was supposed to be exactly the same way all the time. There was repression everywhere. You're supposed to dress the same way, look the same way, smile, never complain, always do the right thing, get a job, get old, die, get Social Security, whatever it is. Don't do anything different and shut your mouth. Don't complain. Don't say anything. Don't go against the grain. Don't be avant-garde. Don't be anything like that. That's just for children. And this is the way we all grew up. Everybody looked like a little man of 50 when they were 22 years old in the 1950s. Everybody had their hat, they had their little gray suit, you know, they had their tie. And that's the era I grew up in. It was a kind of repressive, dull era. And there's very good reasons for that, but I'm not going into a history of the United States right now. I mean, you know, that's not to judge the people who formed that world. They came out of the Depression and World War II, and they were welcome. Welcome to some peace and quiet, but it went too far. And history is always a case of cycles, of things going back and forth, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, like that. So BAI came of age, or was born and came of age, and grew ripe and grew brilliant and wonderful and very popular in the 60s and the early 70s, when these tremendous movements were changing the very fabric of the entire country, when everything was being turned upside down in the world, and as far as I'm concerned, for good, right? Of course, as usual, a lot of it's gone too far. So now we have to pull back from chaos into a certain kind of, I don't know what you would call it, morality, right and wrong, conservatism. Those aren't words that I find so offensive at all times. Sometimes there's too much chaos, there's too much narcissism, there's too much do your own thing. And BAI has always been subject to that. If BAI has ever gone to an extreme, of course, it's been that. Take, for instance, the fact that Bob Fass, who, as I mentioned last week, is the founder and the creator of basically of modern radio, of what's called talk radio now, and especially something called freeform radio, which I find the most glorious thing of all. When I was 21 and lost and lonely and miserable, in a life that's been that way most of the time, but a particularly bad point in my life, I turn on the radio one night in the middle of the night, and I hear Bob Fass talking about the Vietnam War and talking about prisoners on Rikers Island, talking about civil rights struggles, talking about demonstrations, saying whatever came into his head in a brilliant, beautiful, artistic, and intense, passionate manner. And from there, I started listening to all the other people on BAI. Julius Lester, even Clayton Riley was on back in those old days. Julius Lester, who was incredible to listen to, Dolores Costello, Steve Post. These are some names you may not know, these people. These were people who I grew up listening to. I said grew up starting from 21 when I was about 7. These are the people who I originally listened to. And what we had was this war. We had gay rights, we had women's rights, we had civil rights. Everything was changing. These are things now a lot of people in some ways take for granted, though of course, naturally, they haven't all been overcome or fixed, even in any serious way in some cases. But maybe it takes that. Maybe it takes a great shift in society. And we may be having that now as a reaction to Ashcroft, who is exactly like Joseph McCarthy, and to Bush and to Cheney, people who have no use for democracy whatsoever and would just lock people up in concentration camps, shoot people, and arrest them in the hundreds of thousands if they could get away with it. They have no respect whatsoever for anybody's rights. They do as much as they can get away with. Now, these people are in charge. Usually, BAI does very well when people like this are in charge. Anytime there's a repressive, usually Republican government, or there's corruption and repression, people flock to hear the truth because people want to hear the truth as much as a flower wants to soak up the sun, as much as the roots of any kind of plant need water. People, the average person, wants to hear the truth. Now, when a person becomes afraid of life sometimes, when a person becomes scared, paranoid, disturbed, when they live their lives in a sense of rage or vengeance or self-doubt, they may seek refuge in a kind of conservative, ritualistic, repressive way of living and a way of perceiving the world because that keeps them safe. Their fears are locked within them then, and they're not threatened. And the only way to deal with the world is to control it utterly. And this is what's happened to this place in the last year. Eutrice Lee came in here. Eutrice, who did, I think, a fairly interesting, though I didn't really necessarily like it that much, but I acknowledge the fact that she was very good as a political radio journalist who did a talk show. She decided that she was, in fact, unfairly passed over for a certain position here and decided, I guess, for that reason and some other reasons, that she needed to take over the radio station. And with the blessings of Bessie Wash, who has since been, I think, fired. She may have quit, but she may have also been fired. She was the executive director of the Pacific Foundation. They stole the place on December 23rd. And thereafter have run amok. Now, it's funny, though, because and there have been lawsuits, there have been threats, there has been some violence on both sides, although it's been extremely petty. It doesn't even deserve the name violence, what's going on here between both sides at BAI and the Pacifica Foundation. This has been going on for a long time, here, for an entire year. There have been lawsuits. Now, just recently, and you may have heard reference to this several times in the BAI news, it's been in all the newspapers. Today, Matthew Finch, who is our the director of the arts department here, read a couple of articles from Current Magazine, which is the trade journal for non-commercial and community radio stations, about peace finally perhaps arriving in the Pacifica Foundation and perhaps one day at BAI because there's been a settlement of all these lawsuits. A judge served as an arbitrator. People have signed on to this settlement. Juan Gonzalez, who used to appear, who's a syndicated columnist and a columnist with the Daily News, and who used to appear regularly with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! Before it was thrown off the radio station in a thug-like manner. These people have signed on to this. Now, you should know, as in any kind of controversy, when you've got people who take, you know, angry, sometimes powerful people who take opposite sides, like as you can see by picking up the paper any day in any part of the world, there are people who refused any kind of compromise. They call any kind of compromise a sellout. Well, sometimes a compromise is a sellout, and sometimes it's the only way that you can get on with civilization. It's the only way that life can continue to go on. And I guess I'm old enough now to know that compromise is very often the way that you preserve life while you're trying to enrich it, you know, rather than just shoot it out and the last man standing wins. But there are people on both sides of this civil war in Pacifica who refuse to sign on to this settlement and compromise, and they have their right to think of it that way. The people who are on the left or the band and the dissidents who have not signed on to this settlement have decided that it's a sellout in certain ways, so they have their right to look at it that way. And, of course, the right-wing corporate yup types on the other side, who are mostly gone now, thank God, with even the ones remaining who didn't sign on. Well, I guess they're not remaining anymore. They left. But the people who wouldn't sign on to this, they see it as a sellout to the leftover hippies and, you know, the dissidents and the radicals. So where are we with all this? BAI, as I say, has always, you know, BAI, I suppose, has been the most important external influence in my life, aside from what? My personal environment. You know, growing up in my house, my mother, my father, and you've heard all the sad tales before. There is nothing else like an institution or an archetype or a structure in the external world outside of my own poor little head that has ever affected me as much as BAI. There are times when BAI has rescued me, I think, from the brink of death, suicide, despair. The fact that when I heard that you could get on a radio station and say whatever you wanted to, that you could call people who ran the government thieves, liars, murderers, that you could point out that corporations were routinely poisoning the air, the earth, and the water. I had never heard anything like that before. You have to understand, if you didn't grow up in the 50s, there was nothing except cookie-cutter radio. It was all just commercials and banter between people who were selling dog food, and you know, you had all sorts of jolly people on who were just smack dab in the middle. Sometimes they were entertaining, sometimes they weren't. There was only one person on the radio in the entire 1950s and 60s who in any way went outside the box, and that was Gene Shepherd, and he's remembered fondly by millions of people who listened to him. But otherwise, it was business as usual. And the fact that BAI, which changed from basically a station which rebroadcast BBC high-tone, you know, wonderful programs, you know, interviews with authors, it broadcast classical music. It was given to the Pacifica Foundation in the early 60s by a very rich man who owned it named Lou Schweitzer. The fact that people could get on this station, and this, I listened to this all through my 20s, Larry Josephson, Julius Lester, people like that, Steve Post, Bob Fest, that you would hear Bob Dylan get on, that you would hear Arlo Guthrie get on, that you would hear people that people would never be allowed to be heard anywhere else, that you would hear points of view and opinions that were considered outrageous and even un-American by most other people in this country, was to me like a godsend. I felt like I had literally seen the light, you know, like in those old gospel hymns. I felt like, you know, thank the Lord, I've seen the light. I mean, to me, and I, you know, the original radio, discovery of radio, when the Federal Communications Commission was created in the 1920s to oversee the airwaves, when they began to understand that radio was a powerful, astounding miracle that could bring enlightenment and products to tens of millions of people, when that was understood finally, you know, when it was apparent that it was a functioning miracle, the Federal Communications Commission was created. And its job was to oversee the airwaves for the good of the people of the United States. You know, we the people, like in the Declaration of Independence. It was never intended originally by its creators, perhaps idealistically and naively, to become one big, boring, programmed conduit for garbage, which it is now. And as it becomes more and more superficial, more and more programmed, robotic, as radio becomes more and more depressingly insulting, low-minded, and stupid, a place like BAI becomes a pearl of inestimable value. It becomes a place even more sacred and worth preserving as a place of free speech than it ever was before. This place stands out like a potential diamond in a sea of mud. And I'm including in this mud National Public Radio and NYC. There are some good programs in NYC, but basically it's the same as any other non-commercial organization these days that has gone corrupt, or any charity that's gone corrupt. The head of NYC, Laura Walker, probably makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and there's no reason for it. They have probably a dozen vice presidents over there, nine-tenths of them, there's no reason for them to even exist. And they probably make over $100,000 a year. This is a waste and a theft of the listeners' money, subscribers' money. BAI was always for the people who listened to it. When people got on BAI and said in the 60s and 70s and partially in the 80s and a little bit in the 90s, when they said this is your radio station, you have to keep it alive, they really meant it. They knew in their hearts that you, the listener, subscriber, we're like shareholders. We're literally the owners of this station, that we mean nothing without you. Now, people say that, Utrice and her gang of charlatans and fools and thugs and no talents, have been saying this for the last year. They use the word free speech radio. They should get slapped across their faces for using that word. Not that I'm recommending violence, mind you. That's metaphorical. They have no right to utter the word free speech radio. This place has been living under, producers who are on the radio here at this place have been living under a state of fear and terror for the last year that they're going to lose their radio shows. Utrice has barged into people's programs in the midst of their programs and taken them off the air. That woman has all the instincts of a born dictator, and as I say, had surrounded herself with bootlickers, lackeys, and people who are just as racist and lunatic as she is. And some of them are still here spewing their garbage over the radio. And I can only pray that in the next month or two or three, when the administration of this radio station changes, that these people are given the gate, that they are shown out of this radio station, or else put in some obscure position, or at least, I should say, calming down a little bit here. And in the interest of free speech, they can keep their radio shows, but in a much reduced manner. they can get back their one-hour radio shows in the middle of the night or 1 hour in the afternoon, whatever it was. But in the last year, the quality of an already suffering in quality radio station has gone down so badly that now the common intellectual and humanity level of our broadcasters, in most cases or in many cases, is much lower than it used to be. And if you want to judge how low this radio station has sunk in terms of its narrow-mindedness, its racism, sometimes it's anti-Semitism, it's stupidity, it's ranting, one-note garbage that it spews day in and day out. And I'm, exempting about 75% of the programmers on the station who still do wonderful programs. But the major ones who were installed by Utrice and her ilk, just judge by the quality of the listeners. The quality of the average listener call to this station has dropped about 100%. We routinely get people who are racist, anti-Semitic, plain stupid, mindless, and superficial. It sounds like the callers to any other hate radio station. And that's something which is shameful and something that has to be changed. Now, as I mentioned before, a lot of the people who are called the banned and the fired, they were not my pals. They were not my friends. We had terrible arguments about programming. We had personal arguments over the years. And that's an old story between me and them. It may very well be that these people will be back within a couple of months. In fact, I think they will be, because the settlement that was worked out at the level of the Pacifica Foundation really in many ways favors the return of these people, which I'm sure many of you will be glad to hear. I personally would be really glad to hear Amy Goodman come back on the air here. And I've been trying and hoping for her to come back on the air for a long, long time now. She was driven out by people around here who could not stand the fact that she would not knuckle under to them, and that she would not abide by their censorious, repressive, and just plain stupid rules. And neither will I. I came to BAI. To me, this is like a sacred space. I would never be here in the first place if I wasn't drawn by the quality of being able to say what I want. How many times in our lives are we able to say just exactly what we want, forthrightly, to as many people as possible? Hardly ever. Hardly ever. Whatever need is in people who get on the radio to speak to a lot of people, I have it, I guess. But I can't practice it when people are telling me what to say in advance or after the fact, or people are telling me what not to say in advance or after the fact. I can't practice my art. I can't practice my profession. I can't speak on the radio in an honest, intense, passionate way with people hovering over me, warning me, and threatening me. And that's been going on in the last year. No matter what faults of the people who were thrown out of here over a year ago, and those faults were many. Write to me and I will send you a 500-page enclosed document explaining what they are. It doesn't matter. First of all, they were thrown out in an illegal manner. They were just literally thrown out of here, violating all sorts of union rules, employment rules, and rules of human decency. And the second thing is one thing that these people who were thrown out of here never did In the 22 years I was here before these dictators and these thugs took over the place, one thing they never did was tell me what to say. And for me, that's the thing that always kept me going here. And, you know, to be honest, for many years now, I felt like I've said what I had to say. And there were times when I just didn't want to do it anymore. And in some ways, because of the confessional sort of radio I do, not speaking on the radio anymore is a kind of advance into mental health for me. It's better for me that I don't feel like I need to be on the radio talking to so many people all the time. That's for me, all right? But one thing, no matter what my disagreements were with the people who were thrown out of here, Amy and Bernard and many other people, no one ever, Samori, who I had terrible arguments with, no one ever told me what to say, because what they had in common with me was a respect for the fact that the most essential ingredient for being on the people's radio station and for the people is that you can say just exactly what you need to say. Now, I'm not encouraging gratuitous personal abuse, which becomes boring and libelous after a while. There's no point in that. That's dull, stupid radio in itself. But last week, David Rothenberg was suspended from the air and by our new manager, whose name is Robert Daughtry. If you want to write to him and encourage him to put Bob Fass back on the air and David Rothenberg back on the air and to not suspend anybody else and to just calm down and try to listen to the voice of reason and to try to learn more about what the essence of free speech radio is about, you can write to him. His name is Robert Daughtry, Daughtry, and it's WBAI, 120 Wall Street, and that's New York, New York, 1005, or you can call 209-2800 during the week, during business hours, and perhaps you can get through to him. Over the last year, you have had a station manager who has had nothing but contempt for the listener. She just lectured and harangued everybody. For the first time in my life since I've been here, and before I was on the air here, I was I ran the place. I was the assistant manager, but in effect, in some cases, I was the manager of the place. Before that, since I was listening to the place for 35 years, when they had fundraising drives, you always knew exactly how much money was being raised. And that was good because it showed we had a monitor up on a video monitor, which went into what we called the tally room. And because we considered ourselves as sort of a commune with you and the listeners and we the producers, we always knew exactly how much money we raised. If we weren't doing well, we were able to tell you that. If we're doing well, we were able to tell you that. We told you the exact amount of money. There was a kind of friendly competition between people. You knew because we considered you the owners and we respected you as the shareholders and the people who co-ran and co-owned the place with us in a way. Not co-ran, that's going too far. We ran the place, but we really essentially believed that you were the co-owners. And take somebody like Bob Fass and David Rothenberg, a man of tremendous integrity who was suspended last Saturday for speaking his mind about the corruption of the Pacifica Foundation, the ethical, moral, and for all I know, legal corruption, financial corruption of the Pacifica Foundation, but I'm not a lawyer and I don't know what laws were violated. People who ran this place were traveling all over the country, staying at extremely fancy hotels unnecessarily, taking trips on the listener dollars, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on expensive security systems, which were put up out of their own paranoid fears and had no basis in reality whatsoever. Money was wasted so badly. The programming was so racist and so one-minded and so awful, and some of these people still remain on the air, that we lost 40% of our listenership over the last year. During the two fundraising drives before this fundraising drive, we raised something like a third to a half of what we had raised before. And in this last fundraising drive, you are to believe that we raised $1 million. I say nonsense because we've never seen the figures. There is no program guide. There is no report to the listener by the manager. The manager of this place, Utrice Lead, and our current manager don't really care much about what you think, as far as I can tell, because they're ready to suspend people who have tens of thousands of listeners. David Rothenberg, who was suspended last week for speaking in a brilliant, eloquent way about the Pacifica Foundation and the way that it has literally stolen money from its listeners and gone almost bankrupt over the last couple of years, and the shoddy, incompetent, dishonest way in which they've treated producers and listeners alike, for saying this, and as I say, in a way which I could never match, because he has a much more lofty mind than I do, and heart, perhaps. He was suspended 1 minute after he got off the air. I guess someone told on him. You know, like in class, there's always some sniveling little dog who will run to the teacher and say, teacher, Johnny did this. Well, somebody ratted on him, and he was suspended for saying what anybody should say. And let me wind up saying this before Fred Hershkowitz comes in. I have about 10 minutes left. You're listening to Mike Fader, by the way, and this is WBAI in New York, which has suffered a tremendous shock to its system in the last year. And as I say, it needed to be much improved, but not in the repressive, illegal, and reprehensible way that has been attempted in the last year. This is a place which has always been, as I say, a kind of a sacred place to me. And the essence of its sacredness, I know I'm going all over the place, which is something else our new manager says he doesn't like. He doesn't like free-form radio. He told me personally that he didn't like my kind of radio, didn't understand it, and he apparently had contempt for it. And he also expressed contempt for all my listeners. You should know, too. Well, that means you. He said, well, anybody can get a cult of fringe listeners. So now you know where you stand with the manager. I am given to understand that he has generalized contempt for any kind of radio where people just get on and freely speak their minds. He doesn't seem to approve of that. Also, I noticed over the last year, and I told you Treese this to her face personally with great intensity, not that it made any difference, of course, that she was completely arbitrary and hypocritical. She was banning people from speaking about station business and using other colleagues' names in any kind of way, and yet anybody who was faithful and loyal to her point of view was allowed complete free rein to abuse people who couldn't defend themselves, who weren't here anymore. And the same thing is happening right now. People are being says people with tremendous integrity, people with tremendous experience and wisdom and talent, like Bob Fast, and tremendous experience, wisdom, goodness, and integrity, like David Rothenberg, are yanked off the air for talking about high-minded, in some cases, and in some cases, Bob, childish sorts of things. But in any case, talking about internal things in some manner, as I say in David Rothenberg's case, impelled by tremendous rage, righteous anger, and integrity, and in Bob's case, and similarly in some cases, sorry, I keep repeating that word. Now, these people and other people have been threatened and warned, and I have been, for not to talk about station business or other personalities. Yet, at the very same time when people are being threatened and warned about this, like me and David and Bob, and perhaps other people, favorites, people who are still kissing ass and licking boots, and people who are still towing the party line here, people who are still part of this clique, this gang, this little club of brown shirts, they are allowed to get on here and traduce, libel, and abuse anybody they want, who are not even here on the air to defend themselves anymore. This is disgusting. This is reprehensible behavior. These people should be immediately banished from this radio station. Arbitrary enforcement of the law is why we fought a revolution here in the first place. Freedom of speech is why people died in the Revolutionary War. Why people died in World War II. Fighting dictatorships means fighting people who the first thing they do is take away your freedom of speech. The freedom to speak your mind and to say what you want, even to criticize, or even especially to criticize an administration which is supposed to be representing you, freedom to do that is the most patriotic, the most American, the most democratic, and the most humane thing a person can do if they really believe they're right, especially if they can prove it. You know, when Ashcroft says that people who criticize the government during a time of crisis or war, I don't notice any war being declared by the people, but that doesn't matter anymore, are unpatriotic. This has always been the refuge of scoundrels. This has always been where the thugs, the McCarthyites, the witch burners go. Shut up and don't criticize, because that means that you're evil too, and we can lock you up and we can shoot you too. That's what the Nazis did. That's what the Ashcrofts of the world do. And that's what the Pacifica Foundation was leading itself to and was in fact doing. That's something I can't abide and I will not abide. As far as I'm concerned personally, there is no gag rule. No one will ever stop me from saying what I want on the radio. No one. As long as I'm on the radio, I will say just exactly what I believe is right. And you can count on that. And as I say, that's what this place has always meant to me. The free speech, the word, the ability to express myself, and all of the producers' abilities to express themselves on this station is absolutely sacred as far as I'm concerned. And anybody who tampers with that doesn't belong here, shouldn't be here, needs to learn better, needs to expand their mind and their hearts to understand what it really means to be an American, to have rights, what the airwaves really do mean to the people of the United States. These airwaves belong to you. And you would never know it from watching TV and listening to the radio. Once you might know it from listening to BAI, and I hope you will again. And as I say, if you listen to me, I will guarantee you 100% that no one will ever tell me what to say while I'm on the radio or forbid me from saying anything. And I will see you next week. This is me, Patrick Henry. This is Mike Fader. If you want to write to me, you can write, don't write to BAI. Who knows when I'll be getting my mail, perhaps. But you can email me, which is not a real word, but I'll say it anyhow, at BKS, B as in Bupkis, K as in Knish, S as in Schnitzel, BKS, FEDER at AOL.com, or you can call me at my personal voicemail, 252-2042 are you shaking your head at me? 252-2042. Stay tuned for Fred Hershkowitz, who is masquerading tonight as Mark Loyosa. But it's not really Mark Loyosa. It's Fred Hershkowitz, but it looks like Mark Loyosa. But he'll explain that to you. Okay. And now I'll play a card. It'll be my pleasure to play a card.
Something draws me. I can feel it.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
We had a close relationship.
relationship. I liked her.
I think people were concerned, but it wasn't concerned to where people would stop, you know, going to work.
I heard the engines of the plane flying low.
I just feel so vulnerable.
The four of us looked up, and that's all I saw was this big ball of fire coming from the room.
Time was rising, rising night and day. All the gold and silver being stolen away. Picture Turner looking east and west from the dark room of his mind. He made to Kansas City, 12th Street and Vine. Nothing's damn there.